continuing our services. I will read from the second book of Moses, Exodus, from chapter 3, beginning with verse 7, continuing to the 11th. And the words are as follows. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place, unto the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites live. And therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppressions. Wherefore the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, and thou mayest bring forth my people out of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Amen. This text speaks of the people of Israel, the people of children of God, during that time when they were living on the land of Egypt. In our text is at the end of that time era. When they were in slavery in the land of Egypt. I have thought of this text as I have prepared. I want to bring by reading this text how God guides the life of a man, how God will take care of his man that he has created. But as Jesus also has brought forth at the beginning of the Mount Zion, how much more can God take care of us? And then continues, "You of little faith." Also, we children of God, we know, or we feel it very closely in ourselves, that we have so little faith. God guides, even today, my and your life. And God will give direction, which each and every one of us are able to endeavor to even today. We sometimes and quite often come across with surprises. We feel that we have been unsuccessful. We easily think in our minds, "Oh, such a bummer that such this happened. Oh, that it was such a bummer I made a mistake, a certain thing, that something unsuccessful happened." It is very natural in us that at that exact moment, that we examine ourselves of our doings and of our sayings. But still again, we can. We can trust in God's guidance and in His support in even those times of distress, that God tries us. God speaks to us. From this place, during services during the day, there was a pretty exact picture of Joseph about his life, about his life from the land of Canaan because of the hatred of his brothers. His footsteps led to the land of Egypt. But I would still like yet for a moment in the beginning of my sermon would like to relate to that, because it opens up a little bit more of our own text. As we very well remember of the life of Jesus, Joseph, when we have heard of it being taught, because of the hatred of his brothers, they sold him to Ishmaelites. They brought Joseph to Egypt, into Pharaoh, sold him to Potiphar, to the guard there. And that is how Joseph became part of the house of Pharaoh. God was with Joseph. God guided, and guided in a very powerful way the life of Joseph. Joseph was able to experience there a lot of distress, because he was put into jail because of wrongdoings he did not do. But God did not leave Joseph alone by himself. God gave Joseph wisdom to interpret, for example, the Pharaoh's dreams. When he was able to do that, when he was able to interpret it, what does God mean of it? 7 good years, and afterwards, as 7 lost years, or 7 years when the crop could not be harvested. Because of God's guidance, because of the wisdom of God, Joseph was able to give to the land of Egypt a great blessing and protection. Joseph was able to arise there to be like the second man. From Pharaoh, the ruler, the second one down. God guided the work of Joseph. Joseph was able to fix or collect during those good years abundance of crop to be placed into the storage. Everywhere it was full of it. When it came the weak years or the bad years, there was a chance to pass the crop on to those who needed it. God, through Joseph, a young believer, a believing man, gave a great blessing to the land of Egypt. We also remember how Joseph's brothers come to buy crop from Egypt because they did not have any. And in this way, the close ones of Jacob, the small flock of people, were led to the land of Egypt. God's people, God's nation, it was in good command there in the land of Egypt. They could live there. They lived on the best fields in Tramsis, where they were able to, from those who came from the land of Canaan, the close ones of Jacob were able to live in the security of that land. And Joseph even promised that he will take care of them. When we think of this, how the people of God, or the nation of God, or as our text began, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Here in the Bible, it relates very closely how the viewpoint of God, how he proclaims that my people, and this text which I read here, it is God's word to Moses. God spoke to Moses from a burning bush, and God proclaims that he has seen, he has heard the distress of his nation, which has been heard to the ears of God, or God's ears. And the call was that there in the land of Egypt, they were put into the position of slavery and to very hard work, heavy work. And the reason why, the leaders placed them and tormented them in a very powerful manner. It is because of this. This people of God, the nation of God, was very powerful, and they increased. It has been written in the Bible, when Jacob came with his close ones into the land of Egypt, there was about 70 people. And during that time, what the people of God were in the land of Egypt, it was 430 years. These people increased during that time into a very big nation. It was very big and powerful there in the land of Egypt. Was Was it just by mistake that Joseph, that because he was sold by his brothers, and that they brought him, then brought, he was brought to Egypt. Here in the book of Moses, we are given a clear example that it was not just by perhaps or a mistake. In the first book of Moses, in the 15th chapter, in verses 13 and 14, I correct, in verse 13, God speaks unto Abraham in this way. And he said unto Abraham, and know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. God here proclaimed unto Abraham that his people will be led to the land of Egypt and will be put into slavery. When God has spoken to Abraham of this, there was one generation in between when these happenings began. God guides. As I said already in the beginning, that God guides a person's life. God shows. And even to large nations or large flocks of people, their own place and their own time. The distress call of the children of Israel came. God heard them. God spoke of this to Moses. I have seen their distress. Isn't it a secure viewpoint, even today? To you and I, dear travel friend, who endeavors in the midst of this time as a child of God, God sees. God sees your place of where you are. God also hears your call, your cry, when you call on to Him in your different situations in life. You call and ask help from God to your own doubts, for your own doubts. You also ask God for help. On behalf of others in their pain and problems, and in many different situations, we feel that our possibilities, that my possibilities, that my skills, my wisdom, my knowledge, my understanding, it's not sufficient. I have no way but only to ask from the Heavenly Father Heavenly Father would hear my cry. When the Heavenly Father hears, my sorrows and my burdens, He will, in His own time, help. That distress cry of the children of Israel, the cry of the children of God, as it is written in this text that we read, it was a cry to God's ears. They were in distress, the children of God in the land of Egypt. When they yelled in such a loud voice, it was heard all the way to heaven, and it was heard as a yell. Was it yelling? Maybe it wasn't. It most likely wasn't a yelling that you would hear through their voice. I'm sure that we know that the people in the nation of God, kingdom of God, in their when they were feeling and under so much distress, in the midst of their work, or then in the evening, as they laid to rest for the night, they crossed their hands. And they spoke to God with their hands crossed. God, hear me. God, help me. I just think that as they went to their rest for the night, their prayers that were quiet, even words that could be not very skillful, they were heard by God's ears. They were as if they were yelling. We can believe in this, that when God spoke to Moses, that his children's cry has been heard into his ears. He brings it forth even today in our time. We are weak to pray. Our words are quite often so little, so unknowing. But the words but are still risen to the ears of our Heavenly Father as if we'd be yelling. But and when they are heard in such a loud voice, they will not bypass God's ears, but he hears us. God desires to help his own nation out of the land of Egypt. The time of God had come. God wanted to lead his nation away from the position of slavery. In the position of distress, God called Moses to do this work. God even invites us into many different types of duties here in the midst of his people in his congregation. God calls us into many different duties. God also is on each and every one of us. He has given us many different types of gifts to work in the grace, to work and to live in this grace house of God, to work in this way, that we would be here with the others, bringing our own gifts here in this dwelling, and that it would be each and every one of ours, that it would strengthen our faith. I mean by this, I have many times marveled at this, when there are different duties, a Sunday school teacher, a Bible class teacher, a servant of the Word, a person has been invited, brothers and sisters, and mostly in teaching has been sisters, and brothers are the speakers of the Word, often very young brothers. It is so marvelous to notice. God knows who he is inviting into his duties. God has given such miraculous work in his flock of children. I marvel at it, how some young brother or sister keep a teaching lesson to children. How God has given the gifts or given the ability to do the duty. Moses had a very large duty. Because the nation of God had grown to be so big. It had grown that when they left from there, they were in abundance of 600,000 men and wives and children, and lots of others that belonged into the flock. It was very, very, it was very large. Moses felt himself unable to do it. He gives reasons for not that. What is he to bring this flock of God out of Egypt? But God answers to all of these Moses' questions, that God will be able to give Moses the abilities to do that which he has been called. God says this to Moses, Who has created the dumb and the deaf? And as I quoted, God is the one who gives these gifts. We can trust in these gifts. The children of God in the land of Egypt, when they were in that time for 430 years, we know that in that time the leaders changed, or rulers changed. The good, which was through Joseph, which was as a blessing, and which was as an abundance there in the land of Egypt. It was forgotten. This is how we are as people. We forget. It was forgotten. And it was seen in these people here in the land of Egypt. It was dangerous, possibly, because it is so powerful and so large. The ruler saw that it is a strong nation. It could even unite with another nation. And if there was a war, that it would be able to fight with other nations, and it would battle against Egypt. But then again, the Word of God instructs us that we would not battle against the rulers of a nation. Even the rulers of a nation are from God. Children of God also have the desire to respect the decisions made by the leaders. It was a fear that was unnecessary by the rulers that the flock of God would start battling against the people of Egypt. It also gives a very clear answer to us here. In the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 29, verse 7, where Jeremiah writes to the people of Babel, where there were people brought there, a fairly large flock to be part of a war. And he writes in this way, writes there, and seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Children of God are people of peace. They trust and does their best to trust into the guidance of God, into His blessing, and to the protection of God. Just as it was in the land of Egypt, the fear of the ruler was worthless, because those people, they would not have fought against the rulers of the nation. The children of God there, people saw them very easily. are the people of God, or the kingdom of God in this time? Do people see us? Even now, or right at this moment, today, in this locality, and even during the days of these services, people have seen the kingdom. We have seen here, or we've been able to be here at the Word of God. And I believe that even then, in the land of Egypt, there the kingdom of God was seen, the same picture which is here, which is seen here today. When I look at you service guests, those of you who sit here in the service tent on the bench, I also see you, little girls and boys. You are also here listening and even playing. As I see here, as I see from the doorways outside the tent, I also see you. You little boys and girls. You play while the sermon is going on. And you have much joy with your friends. Comes to my mind a very close writing from the book of Zacharias, where the prophet Zechariah writes, "So says the Lord Sabaoth, that in the old people will live on the streets, which will lean against their staff because of their elderliness. And the city's streets of the city need to be filled with little boys and girls, which will play on the streets." Isn't it a beautiful sight that was opened unto Prophet Zechariah of the kingdom of God? It pictures. It is here. Even at our sight today. And we can rejoice of this. That God has given to his kingdom. He has created children. And there here are also you. You are the elders that you need a staff to lean on. It's a marvelous sight. This is the kingdom of God. From a small child to the elderly grandparents, listening to the same services, enjoying of the same grace of God and rejoicing of it. We can be secure unto this and trust in it, that even at this moment, in many temptations and doubts, as I feel as a sinful listener, you can believe as a grace gift, all your sins and doubts, temptations forgiven, in Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood, your sins are forgiven. Here we can, in this grace house of God, walk the way which God has given to each and every one of us as our own to travel. It is our way, and it is guided by God. And with his power and trusting in his power, we can walk that way In Jesus' name and always blessed name, amen.